Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
You sound very measured this morning, Julie.
Well, I'm trying out this new thing. It's a bit of whispering, and I'm very interested in exploring the oral landscape. And Robert, have I mentioned to you that I'm also interested in caring for your hair?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, I do enjoy a good haircut. It really calms me down.
I thought so. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to brush your hair first.
Okay.
And I just want you to close your eyes. And enjoy the strokes of the brush through your hair.
Okay.
Doesn't that feel good? Yes. Okay, this is getting so creepy. Hey, guys, it's us. And we're exploring something called ASMR.
Yeah, and in a way, this is an episode that pairs nicely with our trypophobia episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because in both cases, we have something that is kind of not really emerging from the internet age, but it's the internet has allowed individuals who have a certain reaction to a certain type of stimuli to allow them to come together and start talking about it and say, hey, what's going on here? Why does this make me feel this way? And why doesn't everyone else around me seem to be affected in the same way? With trypophobia, it was about looking at clusters of holes and feeling this sense of repulsion. But with ASMR, which we're talking about today,
mm-hmm.
it's about something far more pleasant, far more mellow, but equally perplexing.
Yeah, it's called autonomous sensory meridian response, and we'll talk a little bit more about what triggers it. But essentially, what it is a pleasurable tingling that begins in the head and scalp, and then it shimmies down the spine, and it reportedly relaxes the entire body when the person is exposed to certain auditory cues.
Yeah, in some cases, particularly in headlines, written by male editors, I think, you'll see it compared to an orgasm, like it's an orgasm in the brain, it's a braingasm or whatever. But, I mean, generally, the descriptions you hear, it is more of a mellow, comforting, relaxing sensation and less, psychedelic sexual mind explosion.
Yeah, and a lot of people will step in and say, hey, this really is not a sexual thing. This
right.
is just this more than anything, this pleasurable, relaxing sense that you get when you hear these triggers. So wanted to mention that most of these things, these cues, are provided by videos made by what are called ASM artists on YouTube, and it has a very intimate air to them, and we'll talk more about that. And so far, ASMR isn't a medically or scientifically recognized term, though studies are now beginning to be conducted, and there's a ton of anecdotal information out there, and explanations abound.
Yeah, it's entirely possible that by the time you get around to listening to this episode, maybe one of these studies will actually publish. We know from researching it that there's a guy at Dartmouth College, Bryson Lochte, who did an fMRI study on ASMR, which is one of the types of studies that everyone's been clamoring for. Let's get one of these brains inside the tube and actually see what's going on in there. But as of right now, we don't have this kind of research to turn to.
All right, so before we start explaining this really in earnest, let's look at some of the terms, because I think these terms will kind of tell you to what degree people are really bound up in ASMR.
Yeah, even ASMR, even autonomous sensory meridian response, this is not a set in stone bit of terminology. This itself emerges from individuals on the internet coming together and talking about it. You'll see it at times it's been referred to as attention induced euphoria. We've seen it called attention induced head orgasm, or as referred to by Andrew McMurris on his blog that he started back in 2010, the unnamed feeling, which should give you an idea, because at the time, everyone was still coming together and saying, "What is it? What should we call it?" And around 2011, you see autonomous sensory meridian response really coming to the forefront as the main term, and pretty much cemented in place by 2012.
Yeah, in fact, if you look at the Google history on this, you'll see in 2011 it starts to make a bit of a footprint. But 2013, 2014, it rockets as a search term, which I think gives you an idea of the kind of following or the kind of communities that are gathering around this, I guess you could say, phenomenon.
You know, what's weird is, and I'll get into this more as we discuss, my wife has ASMR, and I've known her since the first Saw movie came out, whatever year that was. Was that 2005?
I don't know, but I love that you are always like, and we got together when Saw came out.
Yeah, that's what brought us together. Yeah, anyway, for a number of years, we've known each other for about 10 years. ASMR was not the predominant term until very recently, but I can't for the life of me remember what she called it or if it even had a name, back when I first met her.
And so what is her trigger?
Her trigger is definitely, the sound of a pencil on paper. But more specifically, it's if she's sitting in a room with someone who is drawing her with a pencil and paper, and she's hearing the sound of it. She's in the it's the sensation of being drawn, I guess, the attention, the intimacy of that, with the sounds, the soft sounds of the drawing.
And you guys listening out there, think about that example in a moment, because we're going to talk more about triggers, but that really hits on a lot of the different factors that make this pleasurable for people. I wanted to mention that a couple other terms really help to frame this. There's something called ascension, when an experiencer levels up. And usually that means that the control of ASMR has improved, or that experiences are much more intense. Again, these are people who are seeking this out and really concentrating, even meditating on some of these triggers. There's Asmer or Asmerian, person who experiences ASMR.
Wow. I'm married to an Asmerian.
You are married to an Asmerian.
Okay, that explains a lot.
Yep. And of course, you already mentioned it, braingasm, which is that colloquial term for ASMR. So, triggers.
Yes.
Let's get to this. I was whispering at the beginning of this, and I was taking the pages and making this kind of noise. And these are both big triggers, but probably whispering is the headliner.
Yes.
Of all the triggers.
Yes, indeed. A whispering voice. And oftentimes the subject matter is not necessarily important, but in many cases the voice will be providing instruction of some kind, or taking the listener on sort of an imaginative journey, kind of a storyteller. You're walking through a park. You're passing a dog. that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I think about it as levels, and whispering is sort of like the base stock to ASMR. Mm-hmm. And Bob Ross, think about him. He's a perfect example of someone, and someone who's quite fetishized, I would say, although some might take issue with that terminology of fetishizing. But people seek him out in order to have an ASMR experience. But now think about...
And I should jump in. If you're not familiar with who that is, he's the PBS Joy of Painting guy who talks about painting pretty little trees.
And happy little trees.
Happy little trees. That was it. And so he's perfect because soft, soothing voice, albeit a male voice, and some people take issue and say that a female voice is preferable. But he's also instructing you, and he's taking you on a journey.
Yes. So it was very meditative in nature, if you think about it that way. Now imagine if someone had long nails and they would tap them on a hard surface or lovingly scrape them against plastic or something like that. Mm-hmm. There's the crinkling of a bag of chips. Again, the shuffling of pages turning in a book. And then the personal care aspect, the role-playing aspect that you already sort of called out here. And that's when someone looks at the camera, you're watching this video, and they're looking at you, the viewer, and role-playing with you some sort of self-care or some sort of nurturing thing that they're doing. You could be pretending like you're at a spa, or it could be an exam. And these, I think, are amazing because it's sort of like the mother load of ASMR, these exam videos, especially the cranial exams. Because the cranial exam, I think it's like a real thing, mm-hmm. right? Where sensory cues would be introduced to you because a doctor would be looking for neurological damage. But in these role-playing videos, mm-hmm. They're just pretending like they're the doctor, and they have different things. Like they have a feather that they're stroking the camera with and saying, "Do you feel this on your cheek?" And that is the mother load because it has the whispering, it has the crinkling, it has the pen. Going up and down, the clicking of the pen, the keyboard, all those different things, and it has the nurturing aspect to it.
Yeah, it's interesting to look around at some of the videos out there because there's been a kind of an evolution of the art form, because some of the earlier stuff is just, let's just watch some Bob Ross, or here someone's going to talk to me, or someone's mm-hmm. going to provide a fake haircut, fake ear exam kind of situation in video form. But as the art form evolves, it's all about layering things and providing multiple triggers, because not everybody's going to be affected by these same triggers.
Mm-hmm.
The person who prefers the whispering is not going to go for the tapping or the scratching. My wife, for instance, the sound of just a soothing voice does not affect her in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that drawing on the paper or someone sketching her. And I do want to point out that when I ask her about it, I said, what exactly do you feel when this happens?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, it's a tingling in my scalp. Strong sense of relaxation and a strong but short-lived feeling of just being really stoned. Because I asked her, so is it like a mild high? And she said, no, it's a really intense high. It just doesn't last very long. Just falls off.
Yeah, and I think that's an important distinction to make, because I think all of us can probably list off a bunch of different sounds that are pleasurable to
us. Yeah.
You know, like I love paper being kind of sorted around, but I don't get tingles and I don't have a sort of flash stoner response.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, I love a good white noise, brown noise machine. I love ambient, even some drone music, you know. But it doesn't have that kind of effect on me. I mean, we both have listened to the Headspace app, for instance,
mm-hmm.
And hearing the soothing voice of Andy Puddicombe on mm-hmm. that. You know, very soothing voice and very can help get you into a meditative state. But I don't feel high while it's taking place.
No, actually, I think that would be distracting because Headspace is actually a meditation app.
Yeah.
So it would be kind of wonderful, but perhaps distracting to the point of you're trying to calm your brain down.
Yeah.
Not elicit some sort of overreaction.
Yeah, you need an alternate Headspace app where there's just a drill sergeant, I guess.
Yeah, you definitely have to do that. Although Andy does have a really nice whispery voice.
You know, another voice that came to mind, and again, this is from a non as Mirian, but Timothy Leary, I feel like his voice is always, I've always found that super soothing. And I did a search around. It looks like there's some ASMR stuff that does utilize some of his spoken word album work from the 60s.
And I want to mention, too, that it's not just whispering. A lot of these artists are... they're using space. We talked about this in music. Mm-hmm. Like, if you use space in unexpected ways, that your brain pays even more attention. And so...
you mean like the ambient sounds of a room or a physical space?
No, I mean, like, I'm thinking about Dr. Dimitri, who does one of the
can you describe
cranial exams
physically for us?
I will try to be Dr. Dimitri. Now, what is your name? So it's like, you know, he's not talking in the sort of the pattern that we're used to, okay, right? And so I think that is a part of it, is because, and we've talked about this before, it's like, it's not like music, but there are some similarities in which if your brain is grappling with those unpredicted spaces and those spaces resolve themselves, like in a certain note, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you get relief from that, or you get a sort of pleasure from that. And now a lot of Asmarians will say this is not like the musical Chills.
Yes, that they make generally make a strong point of that being significantly different. That is known as frisson. Is it French?
Frisson.
Frisson. Frisson. The spine tingling sensation of listening to music that a lot more people can relate to. But an Asmarian will be quick to tell you, no, that is separate. That is not my thing. That may be your thing, but that's not my thing.
Yeah, and if you want to know more about that, check out our episode on Does Music Hijack the Brain? Because we go a little bit deeper into that. Now, within the Asmarian community, there are two types of Asmarians, as reported by the community. It's type A and type B. Type A is through just sort of meditation or thinking about the thing, right? So if you hear the auditory cue, that may just be enough to trigger that sort of sensation. But type B's need to actually experience the trigger. So, for instance, getting a haircut. That's why I was pretending to cut your hair earlier, which was, again, super creepy. or any sort of exam or close personal attention.
Right. So it's the difference, again, between imagining the haircut and having the haircut.
Yeah.
If you're type A, you don't. All you have to do is think about the trigger. But type B, you need the trigger.
Yeah, one of our producers, Paul, was telling me that his trigger is when he is on an airplane and they begin to describe all the safety precautions that passengers must take and the oxygen coming down and the exits and all of this. And he said it's not just the voice, but it's the actual, like, taking care to tell you how to protect yourself. It's a kind of nurturing quality.
We see
it.
That nurturing theme in a lot of these. Mm-hmm. It's like if sometimes it's just merely instructional, which can be a form of nurturing. Other times it's actual physical care, a doctor and patient relationship, or a parent and child relationship. I'm going to groom your hair. I'm going to look after your hygiene, your well-being.
And that is a good point for us to actually take a break, because when we get back, we're going to delve a little bit more into the ASMR artists, but also the reasons, the possible explanations for why people experience this.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
All right, we're back. We're still discussing autonomous sensory meridian response, or ASMR, the domain of the Asmerians.
I feel like they should. It sounds like they should have their own planet.
They should, yeah. And it's probably indistinguishable from our own. Is the thing, because I was looking around at some of the videos. There's a Reddit for Asmerians where people are just throwing up, you know, various videos, and they range from the like highly produced professional ASMR video realm to stuff. Literally, there's a video where someone just has an audio and video recording of chefs at Five Guys Fries preparing to make French fries. So they're just, you know, there's a little bit of ambient clanging and echo and the opening of the potato bag. And that clip, I looked at the clip, had like 10,500 views.
Well, okay.
It made me a little sick.
All right. So let me tell you that Maria, who is known as Gentle Whispering, if you want to look at her on her YouTube channel, she has something like 40 plus million views of her videos. Now, granted, she's up in the hundreds in her videos, but still, some of them will fetch up to 800,000 to a million views. I think there was one that was 2 million views, and she's really sort of the czar of ASMR. And she's a Russian woman who moved to the U.S. in 2006, and she says a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, she began to actually seek out videos, not realizing that the whispering stuff was actually helping her anxiety. And she found herself doing it more and more and more. And then I believe in 2009, she started doing this in earnest, making her own videos. So obviously, people like her who have a genuine interest in the ASMR community, or even not a genuine interest, can make a small income doing this.
Yeah, enough to at least put back into your product and pump out more videos. It's interesting too that she's Russian and has a Russian accent,
mm-hmm.
because I saw that mentioned a lot in the materials we were looking at, that everyone has their different taste as far as ASMR material, but a lot of people do prefer an accent of some kind. And it kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier about a different mode of speech being less predictable. Reminds me of Bela Lugosi as Dracula. One of the reasons Dracula resonated so much with Bela's performance is because Bela didn't speak English at the time, so he was saying these words but not actually speaking them. So his delivery was a little unpredictable and a little haunting.
Which is interesting because the unpredictability factor, I think, is present in whispering anyway. I mean, mm-hmm. the best way to get my kid's attention is to actually whisper to her.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's unusual, right? And you're like, well, you have to lean in and really pay attention. So you have that going for you, and then you have those spaces in the actual speech pattern, mm-hmm. making it a little bit even more skewed, right? And in addition to this, a lot of ASMR artists like Maria use 3D or binaural microphones, which create a stereo recording that makes the listener feel like they're in the same room as the speaker.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people in the ASMR community say you do have to have the headphones. You need that that surround feeling that you're just not going to get from your laptop speaker.
Yeah, this is from the Atlantic article, How to Have a Brain Orgasm. There it is again. Maria is interviewed, and she says of the experience, I definitely think it has something to do with proximity. When you watch ASMR videos, you're completely vulnerable, the viewer is. It's almost uncomfortable for you to be that close to another person, but if you feel how much they care about you at that moment, it just puts you in that state of euphoria. Hmm. So imagine you've got your headphones on, and you have the 3D microphones making it feel that much more intimate.
Huh. You know, I also did a quick check, and there are videos of individuals who are pretending to draw you with a pencil.
So your wife would be like, hey, that's, they mean, because there's the sound and there's the kind of attention.
Yeah.
Right? And the sort of like, hey, I care for you.
I care for you. I care for you enough to sit here and draw you. Yeah.
Yeah. So you had pointed out before, why mostly women?
Yeah, that's kind of a lingering question about this, isn't it? Again, we're still waiting on studies, so we don't have anything really hardcore. But as best as we can tell, it comes down to that nurturing energy.
Yeah, and I had mentioned Dr. Dmitriev, but he's an anomaly among all the ASMR artists. And yeah, there's that sort of nurturing role playing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it would make sense that this kind of stereotype would play down the lines of gender.
Yeah, like I almost felt weird saying it because it sounds a little sexist for me to say, oh, well, you know, nurturing energy. Of course, females are into it, but, you know.
I mean, if that's the predominant stereotype, then, I mean, we see that carried out through all types of media. So it would make sense that this is something that is acceptable. Now, I was fine with Dr. Dmitriev, but my husband was like, ugh. He's totally creeping me out.
Well, what does your husband think about Bob Ross?
You know, we didn't talk about Bob Ross. But who doesn't like Bob Ross?
Some artists don't like Bob Ross. I have a friend who's an artist and she hates him.
Well, is that because of the content of his work?
I think so. I think she's just kind of like, blah. And I think also maybe it's because her mom was an art teacher or something. I'm not sure. But
she does not like the happy little trees.
Yeah.
She wants dangerous trees.
She's a weird duck, that one. But yeah, for the most part, I feel like most people would like Bob Ross. What can you be offended by?
Indeed.
Real quick, we're talking about the nurturing power of it and
all.
I do want to mention as well that my wife said that when she was a little girl, she and a friend would take turns combing each other's hair, and she would also experience ASMR in those situations.
Huh. So, I mean, she's kind of a type A and type B. Or maybe actually she would probably be a type B just
I think
purely experiential.
Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, especially since, as far as I know, the videos don't even work that well on her. Like, it's just really got to be someone in the room drawing her.
Yeah.
And then I did it once, and I think it kind of worked for her. But then she saw that my drawing was stupid because I can only draw like monsters.
And, it's like a stick figure.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm just not good at drawing actual things.
All right. So what I wonder is, does she maybe have any other synesthesia, you know?
Ah.
Because that is something that has come up before, that possibly ASMR is a subcategory of this phenomenon where a person experiences one sense, or you could say a cognitive pathway, which results in the experience of another one. So, for instance, you might see the letter B as red or hear a word that makes you taste a certain flavor.
Yeah, as far as I know, she does not experience this. But indeed, you do see this possible connection between synesthesia come up a lot, especially among Asmirians trying to make sense of their... I don't want to say condition, but their power.
Response.
Their response. And indeed, synesthesia is a great place to turn to, because at least with synesthesia, we have actual science behind it. Because some of the other explanations floating around out there among the Asmirians dip perhaps a little bit too much into the pseudoscience realm or into just the spiritual realm. And I'm not saying don't turn to those things to explain something for your own personal worldview. But if you're looking for a scientific explanation, then, you know, the third eye, and the pineal gland might not be as strong an answer.
Yeah.
Nor will certain theories about it being the next stage in the evolution of consciousness. Synesthesia is a little more set in stone.
Yeah, you came across some of the same stuff that I did where I was like, I don't know if you could say that this is an increased level of awareness.
Right.
Are you meditating on something? Are you engaging with it? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just as you might during a bout of synesthesia. So yeah, we need some rigorous studies here. We need a boatload of them. Because all we can do is sort of kind of scratch at these possibilities. And another possibility, which is going to be really obvious by now, is the early mother-child bonds that could be this sort of reenactment of that.
Right. And this seems like a pretty strong theory. Especially from the outside looking in at something that does not have a lot of rigorous study behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem to line up fairly well with that. And it's something we can all relate. I mean, there are things in all of our lives that we can point to and say, you know, there's something about this that's tied up in the nurturing energy of my childhood.
Yeah, and especially if you look at the ASMR artist as occupying the mother role and the viewer as the child role. And Mark O'Connell, writing for Slate Magazine in the article The Soft Bulletins, says there's something about the typical ASMR video that seems to address itself to a desire to regain some prelapsarian state of mother-child unity. And that is that mother-child state in which you're being cared for to a pretty huge degree, right? Your hair is being brushed. Your teeth are being brushed. You're being washed.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that's just very comforting about that.
Yeah. Despite how much a two-year-old fights against every one of those things sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to brush your teeth. You're gonna look back on this and feel this weird sense of nostalgia and comfort in the fact, will you just open your mouth long enough for me to get in there?
You know, I'm gonna share this and you guys judge as much as you want. I don't care. But recently I went to Jeju, which is a Korean spa.
Oh yes. Fabulous place.
And they offer a full body scrub.
Mm-hmm.
And so the setup is this. You're in the female locker room. And you're naked.
And you should describe the female locker room, because when someone says, you know, you're getting some sort of a body rubber massage, some people may think, oh, gentle candles, soothing music.
No, I mean, this is just like, it's kind of like a locker room that's had a lot of money put into it. Mm-hmm. So you have marble floors. So it's kind of like a spa, but it's also like a locker room. And there's a huge Korean community and Russian community and people who just don't care about being naked among one another within the same gender.
Yeah. I mean, it's really comforting. I love going there as well, because you just go in, body types of all kinds, all sizes. You feel good.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's a whole other lesson in body image, but what is interesting to me about this is that you go for the body scrub. There are a bunch of massage tables. There are older women in their 60s and 70s who work there in their lace underwear. Because that, you know, if that's your uniform, you want it to be nice, right?
So, on the men's side, it's kind of a diaper speedo thing.
Oh,
yeah,
that's different.
Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with The Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97, for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out The Home Depot's extensive selection online at homedepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See homedepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
But anyway, it's basically like a grandmother scrubbing you down. That's my point. And it's such a nice experience. Because no one is going to scrub you down like that, except for like your mother when you were a child. But yeah. Here is this grandmother type really getting your ears clean, like head to toe. It's a little odd, yeah.
Now, another possible explanation here is that it's all a matter of suggestibility, right?
Yeah, because you mentioned fear of holes, right?
Mm-hmm.
This idea that if you have trypophobia, it may be because it actually came into your awareness, right? Mm-hmm. And you assumed it for yourself, this sort of internet awareness and support that has sprung up around this idea of fear of holes.
Yeah, because it's kind of like joining a community, right?
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to be a part of community that has its, you know, that not everyone can be a part of this group. We have our own terminology.
Mm-hmm.
We may even call ourselves something like Asmerians. I mean, it sounds nice, and everyone can at least relate to, well, I like white noise machines.
Right.
Maybe I have this. And if you think about it and if you want it long enough, then perhaps you can convince yourself that you have it.
Yeah, and so the question becomes, are people being primed for this? And they, in fact, don't normally have this response, but now that they're aware of it, will they then become primed to experience it for themselves?
I feel like I would be more inclined to buy into that if my wife didn't have it, you know? And I'm not just being like, you know, I support my wife and her craziness no matter what. I'm saying that, it's like, it seems too real on her part, and she's been talking about it for years before it was blowing up on the internet.
Yeah, to your point, there's an article by Harry Cheadle writing for Vice magazine, and he says that back in 2008, a Yahoo group called the Society of Sensationalists, I think you might have mentioned that already, formed with a somewhat vague manifesto. Quote, all we have right now are questions and we need answers. We need help, not in the sense that we want to solve or cure this sensation, but rather instead to learn what causes this. And so that's, I think, to your point, it's kind of like people are experiencing this and they're reporting on it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some people would pick up from that and feel primed and then have that sensation too.
Yeah, I would imagine it's a mix, you know? I mean, you have people who actually experience this, and then you probably have some outliers and people who think, well, maybe I have it or I just really want to have it, and they're playing into the suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
But
we won't know, if it's just always existed and just hasn't been named, or if the internet birthed it into being.
And that reminds me, I was looking around at the ASMR Reddit, and I saw people talking about how they've developed the ability to do something. Like they're transitioning, perhaps, from type B to type A.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me wonder, like, how much is suggestion playing into that? And if it's possible to go from type B to type A, then is it possible to go from type nothing to type B?
Or is it that in engaging in all these videos or these experiences, are you ramping up the reward pathways in your brain?
Hmm.
And therefore, it makes it a lot easier to seek out, not just seek out, but to experience that. And that was a question that Stephen Novella, a neurologist at Yale University School of Medicine, put out there, because he tried to say, hey, let's try to figure this out. Is this actually real? And of course, this can't be answered. But he did say that he's inclined to believe that it is. Quote, it's similar to migraine headaches. We know they exist as a syndrome primarily because many different people report the same constellation of symptoms in natural history.
Including, hallucinations. We've
yeah.
into that a bit with our leprechaun episode, if you're interested in checking that out.
Yeah, so he's thinking ASMR, hey, it could be a small seizure, or mm-hmm. it could just be activating the pleasure centers of the brain. And again, I don't think it's too far of a stretch to think that might be happening, just because we've talked about proprioceptive drift before, this idea that it's really easy to sort of game your brain
mm-hmm.
to reconsider the boundaries of your body. And there are plenty of studies to support that. And there's mirror neurons. And then, of course, suggestibility. And who doesn't need a little nurturing?
Yeah, I mean, again, as a non-Asmerian, I love like musical tracks that incorporate soothing spoken word into them. The Books, for instance, they have an album that uses a lot of that, and they're using like some new agey self-help samples in the background. And there's one track on that album that I just listen to over and over again, in large part because it's just such a nice, soothing, uplifting voice. And they're talking about, like, they even use that false bit of science about you're only using 10% of your brain. So it's like I'm not even buying into the message at all, but just
mm-hmm.
I appreciate that somebody is telling me these nice things all set to some really interesting music.
You know, that's funny, because we've talked about this before in the context of some electronic music having the criticism levied at it that it was infantilizing.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, we were returning more to like this womb state and trying to recreate that aural state of a heartbeat or,
yeah.
you know, the sound of liquid rushing past us.
Yeah. Why not? There's nothing wrong with that.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Return to the womb. If you can, go for it. Oh, while I'm at it, since we're drifting off topic and here at the end of the podcast, I do want to mention as well that I recently ran across an artist who all he does is create ambient tracks based on the ambient sound from spaceships in various science fiction properties also some other places, but mostly it's Starship. So it's like the Enterprise. It's the Nostromo from Alien. And it's really interesting stuff. So you can find a link to that particular blog post on the landing page for this episode.
I have to say that it's a fine line for me, those sort of ambient sounds. Like mm-hmm. sometimes it can be a bit too sort of removed from the human experience where it feels like existential angst.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's a little bit more intimate and it feels more womb-like. But yeah.
Well, I kind of like sometimes existential angst is nice in a track. I mean, I certainly.
You're so weird.
Well, I'm just kidding. Well, there's a lot of electronic music, a lot of music in general. It's not necessarily about, it's not about feeling comforting. It's about maybe connecting with something alien and something weird and isolating.
You know what? That is going to be my New Year's resolution for this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. To get comfortable with the uncomfortable.
Okay.
Yeah. You've inspired me.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope that doesn't end in disaster.
Me too.
Okay. So there you have it. ASMR in a nutshell. Again, we're still waiting for some of these studies to come out and get a little more information about what's going on. And as soon as that happens, hopefully we'll revisit this topic. In the time being, be sure to check out stufftoblowyourmind.com. That is our mothership. That is where you'll find all the blog posts, all the videos, all the podcast episodes way back to the very beginning. And the landing pages for those podcasts will include, you know, art and some links to related materials and some outside materials as well. Be sure to check that out.
And if you have some thoughts that you would like for our eyeballs to lovingly caress, you can send those thoughts to us at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.